So, I mean, you know, if it's Pentecost Sunday, what do you think we ought to preach about? About Pentecost, a little bit about that. And so that's what we're going to do today in the next few minutes, and just try to bring a little bit more knowledge to you and just talk about it just a little bit. And you probably heard it all before and probably hear it all again. But anyway, I want to ask you a question. That'd be the title of my sermon today. And that's simply this. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And I think that's a very important question. And we'll be reading Acts. We'll go ahead and read Acts, the first chapter, verses 4 through 8, and then Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. And let me, I guess if I'm going to read it, I ought to be over there. Acts, the first chapter, verses 4 through 8. All right, before we go any further, my sister-in-law, we got a phone call. She's very ill this morning, having a struggle breathing. She has a lung disease that she's contracted several years back at her place of employment. And she struggles very often with breathing. And, you know, she smothers. And can you know how that would be? You know how that is. Would you join me in prayer for my wife, Sister Carlita? Father God, this morning, in the precious name of Jesus, we lift up Carlita to you. We ask, God, that you'd open her airways. God, that she would be able to breathe. And God, we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the name above every name. And we just thank you for it right now. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And I know there's probably other needs here today, and perhaps we can get to those here in just a little while. There's always needs, isn't there? Always someone in need of prayer. And we don't mean to overlook anyone, but sometimes that does happen. But anyway, Acts, the first chapter, verses 4 through 8 says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them," this is Jesus, "that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, 'You have heard of me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, 'Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?' And he said unto them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.'" And then Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Father, this morning again, we ask that you would anoint your messenger, anoint our ears to hear, and help us, Lord, to receive what your Spirit would say to us today concerning himself and concerning our need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. When God intended to be one bodybuilding work against the enemy of heaven has fragmented into a divided character of group of has-beens. On one side of the coin, we've got people who believe in the Holy Ghost, and on the other side, we've got people who don't believe in it at all, or in a sense of being filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. And I understand that there is a counterfeit out there. And it's even becoming more and more evident as time goes along that there's counterfeit prophets and counterfeit manifestations of the Spirit of God and things of that nature. It's happening. I mean, there's groups of people, there's revivals breaking out that more likely than not are not God. I could name some of them, but I'm not going to. But there are groups of revivals around this nation that are breaking out that are probably not God. There are some churches that are raising up and reaching countless thousands of people that very likely are titillating the flesh rather than lifting up the name of Jesus and proclaiming righteousness. Now, I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And I'm not against anybody today. I'm not trying to tear down anybody because there are good works out there too. And just because we're small don't make us one of those good works. But being large don't make you one neither. You know what I mean? You got to find your ground and where God wants you to work and where God wants you to be. But so we understand that there's some different groups. There's people who, the carnal people who would depend upon their own strength, their own wisdom, their own knowledge, their carnally motivated visions, and then those who believe in God. Those who believe in God's wisdom and God's knowledge and God's power. I want to be one of those that believe in God's wisdom, God's power, God's knowledge, and be led of the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the Antichrist or the spirit of this present age, but the Spirit of God, even if it means that we go against, we're swimming upstream, going against the current. That's what we need to be, is a person, a church that goes against what the world would say is the right way to go. And so that's what we try to do, because we understand that doing so and going against what the world says means that more likely than not, although we could get wrong and get in error, more likely than not, we're following God. We're doing our best to. We've got to follow God. There's those that says the Word of God doesn't mean what it says. Well, they're wrong. It hasn't changed. Not one word has changed. Not one meaning of any word has changed. God's Word is the same. by the numbers, it shows that one is winning. By the numbers, you might think that the world's way is winning, that the carnal church is winning, that they're the ones that's going forward. But on the other end, only one is going to win, and that's the one that has Jesus Christ as its head. That's the real winners today, the church that follows Christ, the people that allow God to be their God, the people that allow righteousness to be their standard, the one that allows morals to be, godly morals to be their beacon and their compass, and the way they're going to go is the right thing, not the right thing according to man, but the right thing according to the Word of God. And so we've got to understand this. So I want to deal a little bit today with the how and why of the win. Why, how are we going to win and why? And I want to go to a little upper room in Jerusalem. We just read about the disciples. Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. If they had refused to be obedient at that time in their life, this little fragmented group of disciples, these men who had all ran and hid at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have what we have today if they had refused to follow what God told Jesus Christ had told them to do. But they gathered in a little upper room about 2,000 years ago. They closed that door behind them, and they began to be in one mind and one accord. Their mind was upon Jesus Christ. Their mind was upon the things that God had promised them. They didn't know exactly how it was going to come to pass. They didn't quite understand what they were to do. But they knew that Jesus had appeared to them after his crucifixion. They knew he was alive. They knew he was the real Messiah. They knew he was their Savior. And he had said, go to the upper room and wait. So they went to the upper room and waited. They didn't pray necessarily like we would pray today, because they hadn't been endued with power. They had been born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, but they had not been endued with power. They didn't know about talking in tongues. And they did not know about being led of the Spirit like we would know how to be led of the Spirit today. But they went to that upper room, and what they did there changed the course of the world and changed the course of the church. A new beginning was witnessed out of that upper room. If someone was to ask you how you would define the Holy Ghost, what would your answer be? What would you say? how would you put it into words well enough that they could grasp the reality of his greatness? I don't know how to explain it to you today. I know what he's done in my life. I know the day he filled me. I remember that night that I was gathered and submissive around an altar of prayer with prayer warriors around me, some of them saying, let it go, and others saying, hold on, and some trying to jerk your hair all out, and others just their hands gently on your shoulder. I remember that day when finally I just had to tune everything and everybody out and say, Lord, I want you. And, Lord, if it sounds funny, it don't matter. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues as you give me utterance. And I begin to speak in an unknown language. And that was one of the most glorious times of my salvation. Most glorious times of my existence as a Christian was that very night that I was filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. I know what it's real. And I know that he's great. And I know that he leads. I know that he guides. I know that he protects. I know that he tells me what to do. He speaks to my heart. Not just through the word, but just through personal word to me in my prayer time. He speaks. He's the Holy Ghost. He's a real person. He's not some abstract idea. He's a real person, the third person of the Trinity. And he's important to us today. I know it's difficult in most cases for us to describe him. And for in spite of how much we talk, preach, or sing about the Holy Ghost, a lot of you today still don't understand about him. Don't know what we're talking about. Don't know what we're preaching about. Don't understand what we're singing about. But I'm going to tell you, if you haven't got to that point beyond there, you need to get to the point of understanding who the Holy Ghost really is. You need to, actually, you'll never get there if you don't hunger and thirst. If you don't want him in this fashion, you'll never receive him. There's a group of people in a group of churches and they don't believe in the Holy Ghost like we do. The fact of the matter is, my son left our church recently because he didn't believe in the Holy Ghost like we believed. Broke my heart, but I can't stop teaching. And I can't stop preaching the Holy Ghost and fire. I can't stop telling it about the tongues and interpretation. I don't have him just so I can talk in a heavenly language. I have him for the power. I have him for the conviction. I have him for the guidance in my life. Amen. It's not just talking in tongues. If that's the only reason you want him, you've missed the point. You missed it entirely. If you just want that gift of talking in tongues, that's not what it's all about. So, I'm not trying to pass an indictment on anybody today. The fault that maybe that you don't have the Holy Ghost yet, it doesn't really lie maybe at your feet. It lies at my feet, the preacher's feet. Because maybe I've not preached about it enough. Maybe I haven't taught about him enough. Maybe we haven't exemplified a move of the Holy Ghost enough in our services to make you hungry for him. I have to admit that after 25 years of preaching and teaching in one church that sometimes I get a little stale. And sometimes I get a little tired. Sometimes I get a little weary in well-doing. And sometimes I just kind of want to float and just coast to the end of my time as pastor and just go into retirement one day. Let somebody else toe the mark and let somebody else teach you about some of these things and let somebody else build the church on up. But I can't quit till God tells me to quit. And so if I can't quit till God tells me to quit, I need once in a while to refire. Stoke that fire within me. Let the Holy Ghost begin to speak to me again. Let him begin to reveal to me what he'd have me preach again. So that then we can be enlightened by God. So I take the blame. We need to realize that the Holy Ghost is for everyone. It's for everyone. There's a group says it's not, but it is. Group says it's unimportant, but it's not. It's important. One group thinks it's well enough just to get saved, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad you're saved today, but I think there's another positive, definite work of the Holy Spirit. That's the power. The endowment of power from on high. Come on now. We got to learn. We got to be taught today. So we need to realize He's been designed to equip you and I for everyday life, and it's attainable for every born-again believer. If you've been born again today, you claim to be a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and fire is attainable by you. It's available to you. Now whether you receive or not, it's up to you. You got to become submissive, willing recipient. Serious. He just usually just don't fall on you just because you walked up to an altar. You got to say, Lord, I want you. I desire you. I submit my will to you. Because if you're going to talk in tongues, you're going to have to submit your will and your tongue to Him. And it might start out sound a little bit funny. And you're going to think, oh, what's people going to think about me now? Who cares what people think if it's God speaking through you? No matter what they think. You're not going to answer to them in the long run. You're going to answer to God. He's the one that counts. Amen. He counts. And I realize we want to please people, but man, I want more God. So when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost, I just had to tune people out. I quit listening to what they were saying. It just hit me. It just started happening. It ain't quit yet. It ain't stopped yet. That's been a long time ago, 40 years ago. Still got Him. Still got the Holy Ghost. Still got the power. Amen. So anyway, we need to get to know Him. So let's look at it just a little bit more in depth. We need to get to know Him. In Acts the 19th chapter, verses 1 and 2, the Bible talks about, and it says this, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. Now, when he got there, he found some people who were in Christ. They had been born again. They were saved as you could get. They were saved. And he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now they were not filled because they didn't want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They were not filled because they had not heard about the Holy Ghost. And as soon as they heard about the Holy Ghost, they were willing to receive. They wanted whatever God had for them. And so they were ready and willing to submit to whatever they needed to do to receive the Holy Ghost. Did I give the wrong scripture? Okay. And I do that sometime. But I believe the right one's up there. Okay. And so they were believed. To believe means something you regard as truth. They had believed in Christ, so they had regarded that as truth. Now they say, we haven't even heard there was a Holy Ghost, but if you say there is, we receive that as truth. They knew Paul was an apostle. They knew that Apollos was an apostle. They knew that they were preachers of the word. They knew that they had been filled themselves with the Holy Ghost. Now they'd found out, so they said, we didn't even know there was such a thing, but they accepted it as the truth. Now that's a problem in the world today. People hear things and they say, I don't believe it like that. They'll read it in the Bible and say, well, I don't believe it like that. What's wrong with that thinking? That is dumb. No, I won't say dumb. That's stinking thinking. It's just silly. If the Word says it and God promises it, why do you want to say, I don't believe it like that? Well, you know what? I get off on a lot of stuff right here, but, you know, the same people that say they don't believe in the Holy Ghost like that, or the same people that say, well, I don't believe it. They'll read things about sin and say, well, I don't believe it like that. Come on now. They'll say, well, I don't believe that either. Well, it's in the Word of God. If it's in the Word of God, it's truth. If there's ever any truth, it's in this word. Now, you may be reading the New American Standard Version today, or the Message, or any other, or the New King James, or the Holman Bible, or some other version today, but it's all the truth. If it's been translated properly, it's the truth of God's Word. It's holy. It's God's holy Word. God doesn't change. Right there in His Word, it says, I don't lie, and I don't change. So if it's in there, why wouldn't you think it was for you? Or why would you want to say, I don't believe it like that? Or I don't think it's necessary. When God says it's necessary, it's important. You can have it. It's a gift. Receive it. I doubt there's any one of you here today when Christmas comes up and somebody offers you a gift, you say, I don't want it. I don't like unwrapping gifts. No, most all of us. Some of us are kind of, we take our time opening them. Some of you just rip into it. Some of you go into it and you fold your wrapping up nice and lay it aside, or wad it up and throw it in a trash can as you go. Some of you just rip it open and the whole house is a mess when you get through. But you get into that gift. And if it's got tape all over the box, you say, somebody get me some scissors or get me a knife. I want to see what's in this box. Well, it's a free gift from God and you don't want to open it. Well, it might require something from me. It might. Well, what's wrong with that? He says, I will endue you with power from on high so that you can be witnesses. Why don't we embrace the truth? God wants to use you. Not in that sense He's going to use you. You know the difference? Some people want you to, you know, become your friend so they can use you. Get something from you. Well, God wants to use you in a different way. Yes, He's going to get something from you. He's going to do you with power from on high so that you can go be a witness, so that you can do something for eternity's sake. If you can do something to build yourself up, come on, He's going to do it. It's all for you. It's your gift. And so they, you have to accept it. And then you receive. And to receive means to take, accept, to acquire, or to welcome. Why can't we embrace our position in the Holy Ghost? Embrace it. Welcome it. Welcome Him. Embrace Him. Acquire Him. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Come on. We used to sing a song around here. Boy, I remember when I first started singing in our home church, and that's been 30 years ago now or over. They used to sing a song, let me tell you about the Comforter that the Bible said would lead you on. Jesus said that you'd have power when His Spirit comes down from the throne. Now I'm filled with that Spirit, that power. Anyway, I mean, the church would break loose. Every time Brother Shire and his group would sing that song, they'd have to sing it for an hour. You'd sing it for an hour, they'd sing it as long as they needed to sing it. Until people quit shouting. The people wouldn't quit shouting until they quit singing, so they'd sing it till they gave out. People would shout. People would come to the altar. They'd get filled with the Holy Ghost. They'd get up and shout. Some more would come to the altar. They'd get filled and they'd go shouting. Why? Because they received from God what God, the gift that God had for them. They understood that it was real. It's real. He is real. So they wanted it. So they believed and they received. We believe in Jesus Christ. Now we have a gift from Jesus called the Holy Ghost. Why can't we receive that? We receive the gift of salvation. You believed in Jesus and received Him. Now you have a gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and all you got to do is believe and receive. Just believe and receive. So embrace your position in the body of Christ. He's for everybody. He's not just for leadership. He's for everybody. From the least to the greatest. There's none of us great in the kingdom. We also humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. But you understand, He's for the janitor up to the preacher. He's for everybody. Whatever your position in life, He's for you. Whether you're a teenager, or, well, there's no juniors in here, but He's for the juniors. He's for the little guys to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. The Holy Ghost and fire. So what happens when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost? And there's a lot of different areas and different ways I could go here. I mean, this just keeps, as you talk about Him, there's a whole lot to say and not a lot of time to say it. So I just got to kind of pick my spots and go that direction. But there's other ways we could go and other things we can say. Okay, understand that. I'm not covering it all right here today. We'd be here the rest of the day. We can't cover it all. I got lots of stuff I could share, but I can't do it all today. So He simply put, the baptism of the Holy Ghost grants us entrance into the realm of spiritual power and endowment from on high. Spiritual power and endowment from on high. He endues you with power. Power from on high. It says in Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power. Dynamis. Power. Or that word there, you can take the power. Take power from the Holy Ghost. And when He's come upon you, and then you will be witnesses. It says in Samaria and Judea and Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the world, of the earth. You'll become witnesses. Luke 24, verse 49. This is the words of Jesus. And He said this, and I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, people say it's not for us. We can just get saved and we have the Spirit. Yes. But you haven't been endued with power. And Jesus said, you're saved. Now go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. That's what He said. And in some sense, well, that was for the church in Acts, and we don't need Him today. I beg to differ with you. We're under intense attack today, just the same as they were then. It might be in different ways, but the attack of the enemy has not stopped, nor has the need of salvation to the world changed. And He told us to be endued from power, with power from on high, so that you can be witnesses in Jerusalem, your hometown, in Samaria, the surrounding cities, and all of Judea, the whole state or country, and then the uttermost parts of the world. You're not just endued so you can talk in tongues and shout. You're endued to go do something for God. To get up off of your lazy backsides, exit the church, and say, I am the church. And I have arrived. And I'm full of power. And I'm not afraid of the devil. And I'm not afraid of an unsaved person. Fact is, I want to tell you how to get saved. Instead, we walk out of the church and, well, my life will be a witness. Well, it should be. But God give us the power to express His greatness and His love for people. That they're in need of a Savior. That's why you have the power to do something. He says, I'm going to give you power. Dunamis, this power, or dunamai, dunamahi, is I am powerful, have the power, I'm able. He's going to give you the power to be able to do what He asks you to do. That gives you strength to endure. You're under attack today. You're having trouble. Have you been filled? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Gives you more power to endure. Not just witness, but gives you more power to hold up under the pressure. We're in a pressure kettle here. It's a pressure keg. It can blow up at any moment. You have the power to endure whatever comes your way. I suggest you get full of the Holy Ghost. It'll help. And then He said you're going to get dunamis. And that we've always used that, dunamis. God's power. There's a song out. I've heard it on the radio. Dunamis, God's power. Dunamis. I mean, hey, I want the power of the Holy Ghost, don't you? I want God's power in my life. And so that's mighty, wonderful works of God. We need those in our lives. So you need to be endued with power from on high. And so let's look at what he is, who he is, and what he does. In John 14, verse 26. And this ought to be familiar to you guys, very familiar. Especially Pentecost. How many here are real Pentecostal people? Well, that means you should already be, if you're Pentecostal, you ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. You should already know this stuff. Right? Should be practicing. I mean, doctors practice. Wonder about that? They practice. We ought to be practicing Pentecostal Christians. Doing our best to grow in the Lord and lead others to Him. John 14, 26, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He says, but the Comforter, this is Jesus now, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. What he does, what does he do? He is our Comforter. He's our teacher. He helps bring things to our remembrance. He does that for us. He helps us be victorious, overcoming Christians. He brings scriptures back to your mind. He is that comforter, that one that literally is called alongside to help you. He is, it's really a word that means comforter, strengthener, counselor, helper, advisor, advocate, ally, friend. Another of the same kind that Jesus was. He comes alongside you. He takes Jesus' place. Because he's here, Jesus is there. Jesus sent him to be his advocate. Sent him back for you. Now, I realize you get a portion of this when you get saved. I understand that. I'm all for that. That's cool. But I'm telling you, there's much more to it. A lot more value to him than just getting saved. And so he's there for you. He comes alongside of you. He continues what Jesus did when he was on the earth. So if Jesus performed miracles, what would the Holy Ghost do? Perform miracles. How would he do that? He's not a person in the sense that he has a body. He dwells in the church. He dwells in your body. So he performs miracles through you as you submit to him. Come on now. He does the same. He heals. He does everything Jesus did, right? Well, I've never heard that one before. Well, if he does everything Jesus did, then he is our healer. He does it all. He's the Holy Ghost. So I could go a lot further than that. So he helps us. He intercedes for us. He comforts us. He teaches us. He's our friend. And he always wants to further our best interest. He'll never lead you astray. I could give you examples of that, but I don't have time. I'm almost out of time today, but we'll take the time we need. But I won't go into some of these details. But anyway, look at 1 John 20. 1 John chapter 20. And it, 1 John 2 and 20, excuse me. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One. You received an anointing from Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And you know everything. Wait a minute, I don't know everything, but the Holy Spirit said he would guide you unto all truth. So you say, well, I just don't know what to do. Ask the Father. The Father will tell the Spirit will speak to you. He works that way, but you gotta be submissive. You gotta listen. Sometimes we're like our little kids. We'll tell them something. They don't hear words you say. Fact is, we'll say don't, and they'll say, you said do. You'll say stay, and they say, well, I thought you said go. The Holy Spirit will speak to us just like that. He'll speak to your spirit. He'll tell you to stop. He'll tell you to go. He'll tell you how to act. He'll lead you into all truth. He really will, but you got to submit to him. And then verse 27, it says this in 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you don't need any man to teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, I said, preacher, you just said we didn't need anybody to teach us. John was dealing with false prophets, antichrist spirits in the church. He said, you don't need somebody that don't know what they're talking about telling you what to do. You have the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and protect you and help you discern spirits. That's what he's saying. You are able to discern right from wrong, good from bad, because he is in you. He teaches you. He leads you. He guides you. I don't know how many times he spoke to me in my prayer time. I don't know how many times he spoke to me driving down the road in my car when I was concerned about something. Just speak to me. Making a decision, he'd speak to me. I didn't always listen, but he'd speak. I mean, you know, he's told me what cars to buy before and I didn't listen. I'm serious. Didn't listen. Got in a bind. If I'd have listened, I would have been a whole lot better off. So he don't care about what kind of car you drive. He cares whether you're getting debt over your head. And he cares whether you buy a clunker when you could have, if you'd listened to him, you wouldn't have. Come on now. He cares about you. But you gotta be led of him and listen to him. He teaches us. And so this anointing, we have this anointing. It's been given to us by the Holy Spirit, and he'll help lead us into truth. And if we abide in him, read the word. You gotta read the word. Well, I don't know what God says about it. It's because you don't read it. If you don't want to read the Old Testament, okay, fine. Read the New Testament. Read it all. And then read it all again. And as you read it all and read it all again, one of them days, God will say, why don't you read the Old Testament? There's some truth over there too. He will. Because it's not there just to be there to take up half the Bible. More than half of it. It's there for instruction. It's there to show you some things. Come on now. He teaches us. He's the anointer. Aren't you glad for that? We must know God's truth. We must learn from each other from mutual teaching and exhorting. We have biblical, if we want to be safeguarded from false doctrine and doctrinal error, we have biblical revelation. Somebody starts in. I tell you what, we talk. Somebody come up sometime. They'll prophesy. I got a new word from God. That's a red flag to me right there. God's just showed me something new. Okay, he may have just showed it to you, but is it new? If it's something that's not in the Word of God or it goes against the Word of God, it's not God's revelation. I don't care how spiritual they seem. It better line up with the Word of God. If it don't, you better say, I'm not paying attention to that one. It has to line up with the Word of God. We have biblical truth. And then we have the Holy Spirit to help us discern the truth. So we have two safeguards. The Word of God, we need to understand what it says and read it. And then we have the Holy Spirit to help us discern between good and evil, good and bad. Real word? No, not so good word. So we don't need anyone to teach us extra biblical doctrine. And that's where the Holy Spirit will safeguard you. And he'll rise up in you and say, that's not of God. He'll do it. He'll show you. And sometimes he showed me things before like that, and I think, well, God, those people, everybody follows them. They hold a lot of revivals. You know, people, have you ever had that happen to you? And you think, well, Lord, I don't want to be the only one against them. But then you just kind of hold your peace and you don't follow it. And one of these days, revelation comes. In other words, they're revealed. And you realize, oh, wow, I can't believe that I knew. Well, you knew because you was full of the Holy Ghost. And he gave you discernment. Isn't that great? He works that way. There's a lot of other things we could say. I need to move on. So, you cannot separate the description of the Comforter and John's description of the anointing. They're the one and the same. You see, the Holy Ghost is the person, and the anointing is the personality. The person is the frame or the outer makeup of something, the casing. And the personality is what makes up the person. You all have your outer casing. It's what we're looking at right now. Some of them are pretty nice, some of them are rough. But then your personality is inside you. I can't see that, but it sure shows. Mine does too. Good or bad, it shows. Sometimes it's okay, other times it's really bad. I would never say it's great, but every once in a while it's good. And often it's very bad, my personality. I'm dry. If you don't know me, that rubs you. I've learned to live with it. I need the anointing and the unction found in the scripture, 1 John 2, 20 and 27. Both come from the Greek word chrisma. And that word means to smear on, to overshadow, or to make indistinct, or paint on. I need the Holy Ghost painted on me to make me indistinct, to make me like Him, to endow me with His characteristics, His virtues, His qualities. In other words, when He comes on you, He paints or smears on you all that He is. His love, His intelligence, His will, and His power. And that power is to get results. To get results. So I want to ask you a question as I close today. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If not, why not? It's for everyone that believes. Everyone that believes. He's for you. I believe in Him because the Word of God says He's real. I believe in Him also because I've experienced Him. I believe. I've been endued. He smeared on me. Can you imagine what I'd be if He wasn't? It'd be terrible. I really believe that the Lord is speaking to somebody today. I'm not sure who. I don't want to begin to judge your heart or your motives. But I know you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to be endowed with power from on high, endued with power from on high. I know He's here today. I felt Him. It's Pentecost Sunday. What a great day to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What a good day to just be filled with God. Amen. So altars are open. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost today, or you just want a closer walk with God, maybe you're not even saved today and you'd like to get saved, become a Christian. We have altars. Keep them for a purpose. The purpose is for you to come, bow yourself before an Almighty God, to receive from Him, to repent before Him, to be filled with the Holy Ghost if you wish today. Is anybody? anyone while the music plays.